Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky.
Yeah,
on
well,
95.7 The Game.
Friday is finally here, but Damon and Kolsky are not. So today, getting you ready for the Warriors' penultimate game of this this nutty season. Whitey Gleese and Ray Ratto and Dub fan favorite Nick Friedell, who's kind of having a moment, huh, Nick?
This is so awesome. This is so awesome. After a year plus of sitting in my apartment and talking into a mic and hearing my friends, Ray and Whitey, I am sitting 6 feet away from everybody, safely socially distanced, looking at Ray's happy face. It is a true moment that things are coming back to life for me right now.
I think I speak for everyone when I say you should start dating.
Yeah. Hey, David tried his best. He got me in the Knob Hill Gazette. I'm on the singles list, so you never know what could happen, but hey.
What are the chances that you'll meet up with some lunatic?
They're usually pretty good if history is our guide.
Yeah.
Okay, then clearly you know more about this than, well, you should.
For me, Nick, to your point, this is my first time back in the studio since March the 10th, 2020, which was, you may remember, that's when the Warriors played the Clippers and got destroyed, and then that was it. The next day it was, okay, no more basketball for a while. So I have to question your wisdom, my wisdom. Here we are back with coworkers for the first time in a year and a half, and we're choosing to hang out with Ray Ratto.
The man himself. I cannot tell you the glee that I would get, Whitey, when I would click on that Zoom and I would see Ray's face. And I would just be like, yes, there's normalcy. There's normalcy, and here we are. It's a glorious thing.
You're just not healthy at all.
That's what mom tells me almost every day.
Speaking of who's not healthy, how about that Warrior team they're trotting out tonight?
Yeah, Nick, do we know who's playing tonight? I mentioned no Damon, no Kolsky, but how about do we have Steph? Do we have Draymond tonight? Do we have Wiggins? Do we have Mulder?
We have no Steph. We have no Draymond.
Okay.
We have no Wiggins, for sure.
All right.
I have not heard, for sure on Mulder, but this is very, very clear after what happened last night in Sacramento. Memphis wins, which makes this game completely meaningless. And I feel bad for all the people that went and bought tickets thinking it's Steph versus Zion, because that is not happening at all. But this is the right move in my mind from Steve Kerr and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Because it's the end of a long year. It's all about Sunday. They wanted that 8 seed. They're going to have the chance at home to get it right in front of Memphis and John Morant. You get everybody rested and healthy, and you have them ready to roll Sunday afternoon.
Well, a few moments ago, you heard the ring. You know why we played the ring? Because Jordan Bell time tonight, baby, right?
Oh,
major
boy.
Minutes for Jordan Bell.
Jordan Bell and Eric Paschal, Whitey. It's go time. And I promise you, you know who else we're going to see tonight. We are going to see Alan Smiley.
Smiley.
This is a Smiley game if there ever was one. So you may have wanted Steph and Zion. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
It's not happening. What you're going to get is a lot of Smiley time, and it's going to be a party in there.
How does ESPN feel about this?
probably not so good, yeah. Mr. Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not so good.
And what's their recourse? Nothing.
I don't think there is any.
Yeah, they call Adam. Adam says, gee, I'll look into it. That call doesn't get returned.
Yeah, they got to roll with it.
Because this was a game that was supposed to be huge. And then New Orleans stopped playing, and then Zion got hurt. And then they became a long shot. And now, basically, the season's boiled down to one game.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the odds that you would have given at any point that the Warriors would play a game 71 in which they didn't have to play anyone?
Strange. Strange.
We would have either won or lost a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Because then game 72, and a lot of it's on the line. I just find it hilarious, guys, that the league tried so damn hard to get these last few games
right
to matter. And they got exactly what they wanted, even without the play-in tournament. Because they've got a play-in game before the play-in tournament begins for that eighth seed.
Yeah, two quick things. Sorry, Ray, about the play-in tournament. Can we stop calling it a tournament? I know that's how the league is presenting it. It's not a tournament, right, Nick? A tournament is
right.
A bunch of teams play, and then somebody wins something. And I know last night I saw the promos. The play-in tournament. 8 teams, 6 games. Well, but it's not.
So what are we going to call it?
That's the thing. And I heard you yesterday explaining the play-in deal with Steiny and Dibs. And I get it. I mean, if you're a fan, you understand how this works. But if you're kind of a casual fan, you try to explain this to someone who's like, okay, what is it? You can't explain it, right? It's just so counterintuitive.
Whitey, there are too many arrows.
Yes!
there are too many arrows. The short version is the seven and eight seeds play. And in this case, let's mm-hmm. say it's the Lakers and the Warriors, if that's what it turns
Which
out
would
to
be great.
The winner of that game becomes the seven seed. The 9 and 10 seed play game.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of that game plays the loser of the 7 and 8 game.
To determine who wins the tournament.
To determine who gets the extra slot
gotcha.
From the tournament
gotcha.
To become the 8 seed mm-hmm. to play the 1 seed next weekend.
So, Ray, the way I see it, if you had no play-in at all this year, then, yeah, tonight would still be meaningless. But, my goodness, the game on Sunday would be loser go home, winner goes on. That would be tremendous.
Yeah, but, you know, this is the NBA desperately trying to figure out a way to model European soccer without promotion and relegation.
Hmm.
Because unlike European sports, or really international sports, no owner would tolerate relegation. You're not going to play in a lower league with the amount of money you've paid for that franchise, Alex Rodriguez. And that's really what we're talking about. This is a tournament to decide which team, 5 games under 500, could sneak in to play a team that's won 30 more games.
If I may, tournament, a series of contests between a number of competitors who compete for an overall prize. There is no overall prize, therefore it's not a tournament. I don't know what it is, but it ain't a tournament.
That depends on how you define prize. For instance, somebody's going to get to play Utah in Utah. Someone's going to get mm-hmm. to play Phoenix. That isn't necessarily a prize, but you get to play at least 2 games at home. And even if you can only play in front of half a crowd, that's still $3 or $4 million you didn't have before.
And there's the key. That's mm-hmm. what all mm-hmm. this revolves around, and that's how it got to this point. It was the money. The NBA was trying to generate interest in those last few games and trying to find a way to make those last few regular season games relevant. And
oops,
yeah. Do we think it's worked? Is the larger question. Has it generated enough interest where you think this will be looked back on as a success for the league?
If the games aren't any good, no. Because if you watch Indiana-Washington and it's a dud, whoever wins is going to go into that 7-8, you know, advance matchup.
Right.
And say, geez, do I want to watch the Indiana Pacers again?
See,
God, no.
A lot of people forget, last year in the bubble, they had a version of the play-in. It was scaled down a little bit, and I remember I initially thought, this is terrible, I hate it. But the games were pretty good, yeah. Right? So I think you're right, Ray. And if we do end up with the Warriors and the Lakers, I mean, we talked about how upset ESPN is about the fact that tonight, thanks for coming. Why don't you throw another, you know, bunch of Marvel effects on there or something, trying to dress it up. Good luck. But if they get Steph against LeBron, I'll be over the moon.
Absolutely.
But if you get the Lakers and they don't have those guys at close to full operating speed, you're getting cheated there too. There's nothing they can do about that because injuries are injuries. But, you know, you can't sit there and get worked up about, I need this matchup, but I hate that matchup, because you can't control that. I mean, ideally, what I'd like to see is Memphis and the Lakers, because it would piss off so many people who have decided that the play-in game is all about Lakers-Warriors. And you can't guarantee that. Memphis is hard to play. And, you know, it's hard to play.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure that out against the Warriors because they didn't have Curry for either of those games. But Memphis is big where the Warriors aren't. You know, Memphis will own the boards where the Warriors can't. I mean, it's two weirdly contrasting styles. But unless you're a basketball nerd, you're not going to have much fun with that.
I love basketball. I'll watch a bunch of kids, you know, playing at the playground. That said, if it does end up being Memphis, San Antonio in a play-in, that's not exactly a ratings grabber, Nick.
No.
Well, but you know, we got to go to break.
Yeah.
But I have something to say about that.
All right, we look forward to that. Yes, the Warriors in action tonight at home, taking on the Pelicans. J.D. Covey and Barnett get you set for the game with Warriors Live at 5, tip-off at 6:30 right here on 95.7. The game we're coming up, if you're bringing somebody back, why him? That's next. Damon Radwan-Kolsky with Whitey and Nick in for Damon and Kolsky today on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Radwan-Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
This is a Ray Ratto special on a Friday.
We're just showing love that we're all in the room together. Ray's excited.
Yay.
Feels good Friday.
It's about the 70th best song this guy ever did.
Wait, hold on, Ray. Can you count down? Eventually, can you get us a list, 1 through 69, by the end of today? Can we do that?
I can do that, but I'm not going to.
Thank you.
Glad to help.
Oh, it feels good. It feels so good to be back in
Yes,
here.
It does.
God, I'm just sitting here in the land of the lonely and the desperate.
You're not listening to The Joint. You're listening to 95.7, The Game. You know, the Warriors, as you know, they did not get the help they needed last night from their neighbors to the north, with the Kings giving the Grizzlies all they could handle last night. Memphis wins that game, which means that for the Warriors tonight, the game is meaningless. It will all, almost said it all comes down to Sunday. A lot comes down to Sunday. It doesn't all come down to Sunday. So, bottom line, tonight you got, you know, Steph, you got no Draymond, you got no Wiggins, and today no Damon, no Kolsky. Steve Kerr also holding them out today just as an extra precaution.
In case.
Yeah. So, Whitey Gleason and Nick Friedell in with Ray Ratto today. Ray.
Once again, yeah. The listener gets hosed.
Sounds like you're with me on this play-in. Don't call it a tournament. You're not really excited about it, huh? I mean, yeah, if we get Warriors and Lakers, that'd be great. But is it working? Nick asked the question earlier. The play-in scenario that the NBA has dreamed up. To this point, is it working? You make a great point. Well, it depends how the games go once we start. But has it worked to this point? Has it made this final weekend of the season more exciting?
Well, yes and no. But all I've heard is, man, we got to get Lakers Warriors. Well, if that's what you want, if the only way that you can be motivated by this is if you just get matchups between big name teams, and the Warriors are now a big name team largely because of 30, well, then what do you have the other 22 teams here for? Why do they exist?
They have to fill out the schedule.
Well, which is all well and good, but, you know, I mean, when I drive in, I'll listen to NBA radio just to see what they're talking about. And to a man, you got to have Lakers Warriors. Well, what if you don't? You know, I mean, basically, is that what you're selling now? If it's not the matchup you want, don't bother. And
it's
the
overrated.
Fact is, when you go from 16 to 20 teams, you're largely getting four more teams you don't want.
Well, I'll have you know, Ray, before we get any further, that Steve Kerr loves the play-in thing.
I love it. I love it. And the reason I love it, the last month has been infinitely more interesting for NBA fans than previous seasons, where the last month is tank time, you know, for 10 teams. I just think, you know, night after night, there's a game that matters. I love the fact that there's a sort of a second pennant race, you know, if you will, for six teams in that area are really, you know, playing their butts off, trying to avoid the play-in. I think it's great. And you know, look, you know, you have all year to try to establish a position in the top six. If you don't get there, you know, I'm fine with it. You know, if you finish seventh and you lose two straight, then you probably weren't good enough to advance in the playoffs anyway. That's just the truth.
How about it, Nick? How likely is it to be Warriors, Lakers? If it isn't, and we don't even know how the Warriors are going to fare against the Grizzlies on Sunday. But if the Warriors do get eighth, who else could they end up playing there? Or not? They would be. Excuse me. Yeah, if they get eighth, who else could they play?
There's still a chance it could be Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, depending on how these next couple of games shake out. But this all ties into a larger issue that I think the league has that Ray's touching on here, which is if you have all these teams that not enough people care about, and you have all these games by proxy that not enough people care about, what do you do? Because you're not just going to wipe them away. What do you think the fix is if they're trying this play-in tournament and you're not re-energizing portions of the fan base that are saying, oh, our team's not that good enough to begin with? What happens?
The fix is you start promoting more than just the six usual suspects. Like, Blazers-Warriors would be a phenomenal game.
Mm-hmm.
Steph and Lillard.
But you never hear that as a possibility. Nobody's discussing that. I mean, that, to me, would be a better game than Lakers-Warriors, because I don't think the Lakers are going to be healthy enough.
You know, when Commissioner Silver took over for David Stern, good luck, Commissioner Silver, one of the things that he said was, we're going to promote teams more than we have promoted in the past, which has been individuals. But I don't know if that works, does it? I mean, when you look at the NBA, it's still really more, especially when you have players like LeBron, you know, jumping around, going from this team to that team, it's really still about the big-name stars. And right now, there's two.
My livelihood is dependent in a lot of ways on the NBA. I cover the league. I think the league is promoting the hell out of players still.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're trying to promote teams, and I'm just not seeing it as much as it may be out there. But I feel like your casual fans especially are tuning in because they want to see Steph or LeBron or, with the Blazers, Lillard. They're not tuning in to watch the Blazers or the Warriors or the Lakers. And this is the issue I think that the NBA has had. This is the issue that certainly baseball has had on a national level. They can hardly push out the players that they do have. But this is why, as somebody who is dependent in some regard on the NBA being successful, I'm curious, Ray, what else you think they could do in the short term aside from trying out this tournament and seeing if that draws a little more juice at the end of the season?
Well, this tournament isn't that, because while it's modeled on...
It's not a tournament!
Oh,
don't
God.
Call it a tournament, please!
Go ahead. Go
Calm
ahead.
Down. You're not going to have to talk about this after Monday anyway.
You have to call it a tournament so you can get it sponsored, which they did.
Ching! Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Gee, I get it.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Everybody's a whore. Who would have guessed?
No. Happy Friday.
No, but here's what you could do. Here's what you could do. You make a point of saying, here's who Memphis has. They have Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Ja Morant is a great watch. Does the NBA ever say that? No. At any point have you heard Bam Adebayo's name this year? He's probably going to be one of the guys in the all-defensive team. He's a fun guy to watch. They don't talk about him either. You don't have to talk about, oh, the magic of the Atlanta Hawks. I get that that's DOA. But there are guys on the Hawks that are fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the league, the guy who owns the team in Atlanta is a billionaire too. And if he's just going to get hosed every time, at some point he goes, what am I in this for? Why am I bothering?
I wanted to explain something I said a moment ago to you, Nick, because we were talking about the NBA promoting players, big stars. And I said, what are there two? And obviously there are many big stars in the NBA. But I was referencing something you told me last week about a seminar that you guys had at ESPN.
Every year prior to the pandemic, whether it was in Bristol, it's been in LA a few times, they bring everybody together for a couple days just to talk about how we want to approach that season's coverage. And in one of the conversations, it struck me that it was explained to us that as far as the league is drawn up interest-wise, and this largely targets fans and their patterns and clicking on stories and the eyeballs that come on the television. The explanation was LeBron is at the top, and then there's a gap, and then Steph is number two, and then there's a bigger gap.
And then
there's KD, and this is when he was still with the Warriors, which explains why that team was generating so much constant attention all the time. And then after KD, they said there's a bigger gap, and it's everybody else. And maybe it's changed a little bit more. I think Luka on a national level has drawn more interest in the last year or so, and people are becoming more adjusted to his game. But the point is, Whitey, 3 years later, whenever that conversation took place, it is LeBron and it's Steph and it's everybody else. And KD is now back and he's playing really well, but he's been injured a lot this season. I just don't know, again, nationally, who is drawing the attention to a point where you're tuning in every night like you would with the NFL, no matter who was playing.
So if we do end up with the Warriors and the Lakers in a play-in, the league and ESPN will be thrilled as long as whichever team loses ends up still getting in.
No question. Playoffs. They better go win that second game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, for me, I'm all with Memphis or San Antonio. I want the league to bleed a little bit. Because what they've done here
is... So you want Phoenix and Utah in the conference finals?
Absolutely. That'd be great basketball.
Yeah, it would be great basketball.
I'm not pot committed to the things that ESPN or TNT want. All right? Their method got them a spike only when Stephen Curry was the new thing in town. Their ratings have slid since then, and they're not stopping. So what makes their model work? I mean, they're asking questions based on what do we think we want? Well, it's the methodology that they've always lived on. Well, the numbers are showing that something's missing. So why not try something else? What the NBA came up with is a modified version of what the Premier League does, where there's one tier, the top four teams go to the Champions League, and the Champions League is a hugely lucrative, and that is a tournament, but it makes tons of money for the teams that get in. So if you don't get in, it's a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a second competition called the Europa League for the fifth and sixth teams. But if the seventh team doesn't get in, it's another huge problem. If you wanted to do something just out of the box, it's just wait the seed. Just, if you're the number one seed, you will get more money out of a playoff pool before the playoffs start. That way you won't see, a team, it doesn't matter whether I'm fourth or sixth. You wave money in front of an owner's face, they'll eat out of your dog's dish for it.
Yeah. Well, Nick, we know, obviously, the Warriors would prefer to win the game Sunday. How big is that game for them, though? You figure you win, okay, you're eighth, then you play seven, and we know the way the play-in deal works. Obviously, you'd rather win that game. But all things considered, how significant is the game Sunday against the Grizzlies, and how do the Warriors match up against the Grizzlies team? They've played twice without Steph this year.
Whitey, it's very significant, and I say that because Steve Kerr has made it so to his team.
Mm-hmm.
He's been discussing this with the group and then sending out the same message through the media for the last 3 or 4 weeks. it is important to become the eighth seed because you have the opportunity to then win the 7-8 game against whomever it's against and get some more time off. And when you're this deep into the season and everybody's dealing with nagging injuries, Steph and Draymond have been dealing with what they've been dealing with for the past couple months now, any extra time off is good time. So in that regard, I think it is crucial for the Warriors to win that game Sunday and at least give themselves the chance to get that win and get some more time off. But as far as how they measure up against Memphis, that's really fascinating because Memphis, and Ray was right on this in describing the different factors in play. They play a completely different style.
They can't shoot, but they're big.
They can't shoot, but they are going to knock you out in the middle. And when you're running Draymond as a point center the way the Warriors have been all season, and you're throwing different looks at him that they haven't seen, that's when you could run into some problems. Now, the Warriors have the trump card of trump cards in number 30. When you have Steph and you haven't seen Steph, it's one thing to say, oh, well, we have a plan in place. Well, it's another thing when he starts knocking down shots to start the game. So it's an interesting contrast in styles. But all the people who are just saying, oh, the Warriors will get there, Memphis doesn't have that much experience and hadn't been in these type of games, I think they are very much underestimating how talented the Grizzlies are.
Let's go to the phones here. 888-957-9570. Mark joins us from San Jose on 95.7 The Game. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, man? Ray, man, I was listening to you talk about the ratings and the state of the NBA, and honestly, what I think it is it's the NBA depending on ISO ball and the NBA publicizing the players and not the team. It's hard for you to root for a team and to stand by and always watch that team when really it seems like nowadays people are just watching the players. What do you think?
Thank you, Mark.
The NBA has always promoted players above teams, and that goes back to the 70s. After the Celtics dynasty ended, they would promote the Lakers, but it was promoting the Lakers through the players on the Lakers. And so what you got in the 70s was a really fallow period for the league where when the Lakers weren't really good, you were getting, you know, finals like Golden State and Washington. You know, that nobody was asking for. You know, nobody was lining up to see Rick Barry against Mike Reardon.
What a series. Reardon, kind of a dirty player, huh, Ray?
And those games literally were rated so poorly that they were on tape delay.
Well, they played them at the freaking Cow Palace.
Well, they still put cameras in the Cow Palace.
I know.
But, you know, I mean, Washington would presumably be a draw because it's a big Eastern city. Mm-hmm. Couldn't draw anything. So they went back to the, you know, let's do teams. And in the 80s, what they got was Celtics-Lakers. But that's all by accident. If this tournament, if this playoffs ends up with Milwaukee-Utah, people are going to scream how awful it is without watching a game, even though it might be a hell of a series. Because the NBA, in its infinite wisdom, and ESPN, who's equally at fault here, saying, well, gee, we can kind of sell Giannis, but not really.
You know,
and we can't sell anybody on the Jazz. So they're going to get terrible ratings because their hearts aren't going to be in it.
I think that's already proven to be true because if you go back to when the Spurs, where they've won, what, 5 championships, and they did not draw. People didn't watch them on TV. They were really a great team. They had great players. And they played beautiful basketball, but people just, who? I don't care.
It was 85-83, and people are always drawn more to points than offense.
Yeah, the basketball of that era was hard to watch. And that's due to the Pistons, in some part to the Bulls, because they would keep scores down. Playing against Utah, a lot of double-digit games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game was hard to watch. The reason that the two spikes in ratings in the NBA, the last two spikes were Jordan and then Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because even the Lakers, as good as they were, still couldn't get the same kind of numbers because the games were hard to watch. The 2 years they played the Nets were god-awful, and it reflected itself.
Well, speaking of the glory days for the Warriors, they're bringing back a former member of some of those championship teams. Jordan Bell, we're going to see him tonight, right, Nick? Here's Steve Kerr on bringing in Jordan Bell.
The whole point in signing Jordan is that he knows us. He knows pretty much how we play. Very unique to play with Steph Curry, and I would have felt pretty uncomfortable bringing in a different big who had never played with Steph and never been in our system, just because Steph is so unique. You know, you have to understand there's a different mentality when you're on the floor with him. And you know, Jordan has started playoff games for us. He's played a big role on championship teams. He knows what it's about, and so I'm really glad he's here. And I think, you know, more than anything, he gives us insurance, particularly if Draymond or Loon gets injured, because obviously we're extremely thin at that spot.
Okay, I get it. He's available, and he's affordable, and he knows your system, and he's available. And I have nothing against Jordan Bell, but my goodness, Nick, as you know better than I, as Warrior fans know, he got into it during a game on the sideline with Steve Kerr when Bell was the third-string center. He signed for some items at a gift shop at a hotel under Mike Brown's name, and then said, "Nah, that I didn't do that." And then he said, "Oh yeah, well, that's, we do that all the time. Like Clay did that to me." And Clay said, "I don't know what he's talking about. I have no ill will towards him. Pardon me, but why Jordan Bell?
He was what was available.
He was there." And yeah. Kerr addressed this yesterday, in saying, hey, I know a lot's been made about that argument that they had in the game and some of the stuff that happened off the floor, but why do you can only hear somebody and listen to what they're saying and choose to believe them or not. And I listened to Jordan Bell yesterday, and I felt like it was a guy who has been through a lot of different stuff in the last year and a half, like all of us have, and maybe who's grown up a little bit. And I think he understood not only could this be his last chance to find a way to stay in the league, but he knew that his best times came within the framework of the organization and in that locker room around guys that he liked and for the most part he really trusted. So there certainly were conversations that were had. Hey, how are things going? And do you think you could come in here and help us? And just in listening to him, and I guess we'll find out, because I don't expect him to play any major minutes here in the next week or so or however long this goes for the Warriors, but I think he must have gotten through to the powers that be that said, hey, we always liked Jordan as a guy. We liked him as a player. Maybe he has taken another step in his own personal development. Maybe that'll help him on the floor.
Yeah, and again, the Warriors were playing with eight guys, eight live people, night after night after night, and the question kept arising, why isn't your bench long enough?
Right.
Not with quality players, just with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they signed Gary Payton Jr. That's why they brought in Jordan Bell, because they need bodies. And you'll see. I think you'll see that on Sunday against Memphis. They're not going to try to play just eight guys.
Ooh,
they're going to have to throw. They're going to have to throw a few guys in to take a beating here and there.
I don't know.
8 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
If that's a close game, they're going with their eight if they can get away with it.
Oh, no. But what I'm saying, they're going to spot guys who are expendable because Memphis can wear you out. I mean, if Draymond Green has to play 41 minutes against Memphis, he's going to take a frightful beating. He'll give one, too, but that's expending a lot of energy on the one thing you don't have very much of. That's why Marquese Chris getting hurt was a big deal. That's why Weissman, as much of a limitation as he was.
Nick and I have been saying this for months, like, hey, they need a center. You kind of need a center.
But, you know, do you want to pick Dwayne Dedmon just because he's around? I mean, it just, you know, they reached the point where it was too late to get Dwayne Dedmon. So now they've got Jordan Bell. And now you're going to see Smiley Geach for 6 to 8 minutes. Just because you... And I don't want to say cannon fodder, but it is, guys will spend a couple of fouls so that Draymond doesn't end up with eight.
And to Ray's point, if you're having to use Draymond 40-plus minutes potentially on Sunday, what it does, not only does it maybe increase your chances in that game, but it's going to decrease your chances to make the first-round upset that I'm sure people will love to throw at them if they get in that situation. If they make it out of the play-in deal, Whitey,
thank you. I appreciate that.
The play-in deal. If they make it out of the play-in deal,
EID,
and they get into a first-round series, the amount of minutes it's going to take if you keep it that short is going to show up later on a week or so from now.
And, Ray, your official smiley over-under on minutes tonight is 6. Is that right?
Tonight?
Yeah.
He might play 25.
Yeah, there we go. It's smiley time tonight, Chase.
I'm talking about Sunday.
Sunday at 6.
I want some smiley chance tonight at Chase.
I mean,
the crowd's been getting into it.
Yeah, I mean,
smiley time.
I just think that if this is now your roster, the 8 guys you've had plus Smiley Geach and Bell, I think there are going to be a few minutes where you just go spend some fouls. Just go out there and knock somebody around, because that's 5 or 6 minutes that you're not relying on Draymond Green to have to guard 4 guys simultaneously.
All right, with Jordan Bell coming back, 888-957-9570, if you could bring back any Golden State Warrior for the rest of this season, who would it be? Durant's not available. I'm talking to anybody who's ever played.
AD.
If you could bring back, you can't bring back him because he's employed elsewhere, and you can't bring back Wilt Chamberlain because he was not a Golden State Warrior, Ray, because I know that would be your answer. If you could bring back any...
He was a San Francisco Warrior.
That's why I say Golden State Warrior. If you could bring back any Golden State Warrior for the rest of this season, who would you bring back? In their prime, even, who would you bring back? All right?
We're at a break, so
yes.
I can't answer that.
Okay, we have that coming
I'll
up.
Answer that during the break, and then you can talk to Nick when we come back.
Also coming up, if you've ever wondered what it would be like if Matt Cain pitched every day, well, wonder no more. All that is coming up next on 95.7 The Game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors and the Pelicans tonight, meaningless game. But Sunday, you got the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors, and the Warriors welcoming back Jordan Bell. So that's the question here, 888-957-9570. If you could bring back any Golden State Warrior from the past. Sorry, Nick. Kevin Durant not eligible because he's gainfully employed by the Nets.
Because you made up some crap rule. That's what happened.
I did. I knew what his answer would be, and I knew what your answer would be, and I know you'd go, well, Chamberlain. And no, it has to be a Golden State Warrior. And it would be a great answer.
How are you
hell
still
of an impression,
married?
Whitey. That was a hell of an impression.
That was good.
That was great.
That was good.
Whitey and Nick in today with Ray Ratto, Damon Ratto-Kolsky, 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. Can you imagine 1992 Chris Mullen on this team? That's from the 415. Bob Sura getting a mention. Andrew.
What?
Bobby Sura.
Andrew Bogut. Of course, Clay. Brian Cardinal. Nate Thurman. I'm leaning towards Nate Thurman.
No, Thurman's the only answer.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
I mean, they don't need Barry because they've got shooters.
He would need the ball out more than he would get it on this bunch.
Yeah, his usage rate would make Russell Wilson cry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not Russell Wilson.
Russell Westbrook, too.
Yeah.
Chamberlain. Chamberlain. Larry Hughes gets a mention, but I'm not going to read it off the text line. Let's go to the phones, 888-957-9570. Harrison in San Francisco on 95.7 The Game. Harrison, thanks for hanging on. What's up?
You know what I'm thinking? I was going to say Baron Davis because I love Baron, but you're right. We already have shooters. So we need a big and a rim protector. I'm going with Bogut.
Andrew Bogut. Thank you, Harrison. Getting a lot of love.
That's a terrible answer.
You know who I might take in this exercise? Because they could use some defense and a guy who could hit the occasional three, Andre Iguodala.
Ooh.
You plug Andre in, you know what you're getting every time. He's comfortable with everything there is in Kerr's system. And Steve repeatedly through the years said he's one of, if not the most, the smartest player that he's come across. So you plug Andre Iguodala into any lineup with anybody on that roster, and you're going to be in good shape.
Chris Webber's a good answer, too.
Did you see that, I guess, he's not working at TNT anymore?
I heard that C-Web and Marv Albert were not sure whether they'd be brought back.
Well, I don't know if they were not going to, but I'm as of right now, he's not,
he's not
doing any playoff games, as far as I know.
You know, it seemed to me, we all know what this is like, broadcasting from home. You know, wham, wham, wham. We're lucky to do what we do. But it's different when you're at home. And C-Webb, to me, doing games from home, he sounded like he's, I got somebody sleeping in the next room. I don't want to be too loud. And he just wasn't into the game at all. It was totally, and he wasn't that great even when he was courtside. But to me, he really struggled with the whole remote broadcast part of it.
But in terms of this mythical warrior that you could call on.
Yeah.
A big who's a Hall of Famer seems like a mortal lock to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, why would it be Bogut if you have access to Thurmond? It's absurd to me.
Well,
Thurmond could shoot.
System,
recency bias.
But I mean, he could also shoot a mid-range jumper, so you could still get court spacing.
I would just hope that Bogut would keep the podcast going.
Please.
While playing?
While playing.
Part of his deal.
That would be pretty entertaining.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Nick in the city joins us, 95.7 The Game. Nick, who you bringing back?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Quick check. It is for players who are not on teams, right? I heard you guys talking about Iguodala, and he's on the Heat.
That's right. Yeah, see, Nick keeps – I put the rules out there, and Nick keeps cutting them down. Thanks. Good call.
I think the guy I would take is, for the pure joy of watching tonight, you'd want to take Monte Ellis. And then not really for the playoff run. I think somebody like Sean Livingston would be a perfect fit when we're actually playing important games, because he can play the defense, he's got the high IQ, and he'll fit with either the first or second unit. Thanks, thanks for taking the call, guys.
All right, thank you. Nick, how do you plead?
Guilty.
I was going to say insanity.
Both.
I've heard
both.
That about him.
Both. Yeah, so I'm with Ray now then. I'm going with Big Nate.
Yeah, that was my pick as well. Curious. Great defensive player. But I don't know.
Extraordinary defensive player and a great rebounder.
But now,
Chamberlain.
The game is so perimeter-oriented that they're going to put Nate in the pick and roll, and he's going to have to defend guards in ways that he never had to before, right?
He'll find a way, though. All mm-hmm. the great ones do.
Yeah.
Any player who is that smart out there on the floor and can do so many things, it doesn't matter what type of system that they fall in. And that, to me, guys, as we're going through this, what made that last group with KD and Iguodala and Livingston, what made that group so special, and the difference between that group and the group we've seen now with the auxiliary pieces besides Steph and Draymond, the basketball IQ of that KD era with Steph and Clay with that group was off the charts. It was the smartest basketball team I've ever seen. And I think this group, especially these eight guys who have been playing together now, they know each other, and the collective IQ has jumped up a little bit. But early in the season, they didn't know where the hell to be. It right. was like Steph and Draymond were playing a completely different game than everybody else out there on the floor. And over the last few months, everybody's come together a little bit more. But when you're looking at why that team was so, so good, it wasn't just talent. It was because the collection of basketball IQs in that group was off the charts.
Yeah, I think the classic example of what you're talking about, literally the game against the Knicks here early on, one of the Warriors' early possessions, you had Steph and you had Oubre standing right next to him in the corner. And it's like,
you're exactly right.
No, that's not how we do it. Ray, we got David Lee getting a vote. My wife's one of my wife's favorite Warriors. Manute Bol, a couple of votes. Robert Parrish, Vontigo Cummings, of course. Tom Gugliotta, and Ralph Sampson.
The text line is death. Tom Gugliotta. I mean, I get a wacky off-the-peg name here and there, but you read about nine of them. Nobody's taking this seriously, Whitey. They're questioning the validity of the...
Robert Parrish, before anyone really knew that he was the chief. I mean, that's a nice call. Before the Warriors traded him away. And that was not a great trade the Warriors made, trading him to the Celtics.
David Lee.
Hmm? David Lee was an all-star, right?
David Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second.
David Lee was a key component in the playoffs when they won the first championship, right? He was on the bench, and then they brought him back. Yeah. Yeah,
you're not taking David Lee ahead of Nate.
No, No, you're not. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Vallejo. The coach joins us on 95.7 The Game. Hello, coach.
Hey, guys. I enjoy the question. And my answer is the Warriors need rebounding and defense. And it's going to sound funny, but I'm talking about Mr. Mean, Larry Smith.
Yeah.
The guy who used to give Larry Bird headaches.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Thanks. Remember they used to have the guys that did the tequila. They did the dance. The Mr. Mean, what were they called? And they wore hard hats. It was like the Mr. Mean fan club. Obviously, you don't remember, Ray. I can tell by the look you're giving me. But they used to do that at Warrior games. And, you know, he wore number 13, which is Wilt's number, because the Warriors didn't retire Wilt's number for a long, long time.
Yeah, because Wilt left the team.
Mm-hmm.
Just said, get me out of here. I'd rather go back to Philadelphia. And he did, weirdly enough, in large part because he had a nightclub in New York.
Hmm. Yeah. Larry Smith was a great rebounder.
Yes,
he was lacking another
terrible offensive player.
Their aspect. I was trying to be diplomatic. He was
I'm sorry. I mean, he was the inventor of the 2-22-2 line. 2 points, 22 rebounds, 2 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond would have more assists. But...
Draymond would have a ton more assists, and it's very rare for Draymond to be held to two.
He's had some 4 and 6s though this year.
That's true, but two.
Hey, while we're on this, as far as positives go, going into Sunday and beyond next week, the fact that Draymond is actually attempting to look for a shot right now is a great, great sign.
Yeah.
Because Ray, early in that season, he wanted no part of having the ball. I mean, he was trying to get rid of that thing as fast as he could. Now he actually looks like a guy who has a lot more offensive confidence.
Has he ever copped to, like, not wanting to shoot?
No, his argument is always, when you have Steph Curry on your team, I can be a good shooter, that's the greatest shooter of all time, so I'm always going to try and find Steph, which I understand to a certain extent, but anybody who watched those games early in the year, teams were sagging so far off of him that you were going, all right,
right,
just take the shot.
And that's also when Oubre was 2 for 90 or whatever. They were kind of easy to guard because, please, either one of you guys, here's an embossed invitation to shoot the three-pointer. Yeah.
You take it. That's the stunning part to me, guys, in the short term, in the last 8 weeks or so. Oubre was off and on, and he's been dealing with injuries. The Warriors have done all this damage, really, without Kelly Oubre. Which means if you lose him and you don't get something back, why did you not just move him for whatever you could before the trade deadline and go forward?
Yeah, and we'll get back to the phones in a moment here. But, Nick, is it maybe in some ways a red flag for the Warriors that they've played so well without Oubre and without you know who? Jimmy Wiseman?
It's not a great sign. It's not a great sign. I think they had something with Oubre coming off the bench, Whitey, and that goes into a deeper conversation about the offseason. If we don't see Oubre again, and if you're Bob Myers, do you say, hey, look, we'd love to have you, but you're only coming back in that role, and we know what he thinks about that role because I asked him about it, and he doesn't want to come off the bench. He wants to start, and that's his right. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, the Wiseman thing doesn't bother me as much because Wiseman's still 20 years old. He doesn't have a feel for the game yet. He's coming into his own. But as far as Oubre goes, Oubre being the guy who's either going to be your sixth or seventh man, that has become even more pronounced than it probably should have earlier in the year.
On that note, yeah.